Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome. It's Monday, September 9th. The last race to do the chase has been out of the way. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and you're listening to Garage Talk Live here on blogtalkradio.com. There's an 8:15 press conference to announce with Mike Helton and Robin Pemberton at the Research and Development Center coming out. And he will be making an announcement shortly. There's going to be some big penalties, big fines. And all sorts of things. Tonight's guests are going to include, we'll be talking to Brooke Werner in the Sprint Cup in a few minutes to preview the chase. Our second guest tonight will be Cole Witt, who has announced that he will be driving for Swan Racing next year in the Sprint Cup Series. It'll be in the 30 car, currently driven by David Stremme. And 9 o'clock, our Garage Talk Live's man on the ground in Baltimore and Richmond this past weekend, Gil Smith, will join us. And at 9:30, we should be joined by Tommy Allman, who actually did some dirt track racing and finished second. And I haven't talked to her in a while, so we'll just have to see what she's been up to. So it's been a pretty interesting weekend, to say the least. So I'm curious to see what comes out of this. There's some serious penalties and fines to Michael Faltz for racing. I've heard rumors of $300,000. Both drivers, Spoyer and Truex, docked 50 points each. And Ty Norris suspended indefinitely. Right now, I'd like to go to my first guest, who was at the race this past weekend, none other than Miss Sprint Cup, Brooke Werner. Brooke, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I see you were out at all the fun and excitement at Richmond this past weekend. How was it this?
It was, like you said, it was definitely fun and exciting. I mean, it was more than just the last race of the season. I think it was one of the most controversial and exciting races, especially with that last restart. And it really set things up for what's to come in Chicago next weekend.
I know. I mean, they're having a press conference in about 10 minutes at the R&D Center with Mike Helton and Robin Pemberton to discuss some things. And I've heard some serious fines and points deductions for Clint Bowyer and Truex, and possibly a suspension for Ty Norris. And if that's the case, that could probably shake up the chase with, I guess, Truex being out and Newman getting back in.
It really could. You know, it's funny you mention that, because before I called in tonight, I was just checking my emails, and I saw that media alert go out. So I think we're all kind of just, in the next 10 minutes, going to hold our breath and just see what happens. If they're calling a press conference and sending the email out about an hour beforehand, you've got to know it's a big deal. So it could change things. It's hard to even hypothesize what could happen. But by the time we're done talking tonight, we're going to know the answer to that.
Well, if you have your finger on the pulse and you find out what's going on while we're on the air, feel free to break through.
I will. I'll try and keep everyone updated if I hear anything while we're talking.
I was going to say, if I could have snuck you in down there when it was happening, you could have called right from the site and I could have asked
you some
questions.
Oh, I like that idea, live correspondent.
Hey, why not? You know, the competition. I'm sure the print and not print really. Is there much print media anymore? It's all web media now. Everybody's going to have this thing out in about 10 minutes. And figured, you know, with the chase coming up, who better to preview the chase with than Miss Sprint Cup? And, of course, you've been gracious enough to join me multiple times this year on the show. Figured I'd have you back.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, I love talking to you, and I love being able to talk to all your listeners. And we definitely have an exciting next 10 races to look forward to. I think just looking at the lineup of drivers in the chase this year – speaks a lot to that. And some of the major players that we expected to see in that top 12 aren't there. Some new contenders that haven't been there before are. And how they got there, especially, there's some interesting elements going on. But as for who to keep an eye on, it's hard to really kind of decide who to look for next weekend. But I think as the weekend week progresses, we'll have more information on that.
And you know who I think has been picking up a lot of momentum the past couple races going into the chase? Joey Logano.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on him?
I think if he can keep the momentum going, he can actually pull a repeat for Roger Penske and maybe win the Sprint Cup this year, which I'd
do
like
you really
to see.
Think? I mean, that's some people are saying that. I'm not quite sure if I'm convinced yet. I know that he has less experience than some other contenders, but it's a possibility. So I like that enthusiasm for him.
And my dark horse, somebody who also has been running well, single car team, Kurt Busch.
Oh, yes. Now that is a story that I love. I mean, just a team that doesn't have the same resources as some of the others out there. And they've put forth a really great season so far. I mean, there have been so many races where I've been watching and I've had my fingers crossed for Kurt just because it's kind of a scrappy story, you know, and it shows a lot of drive and a lot of know-how that this team has put together, especially with the Gen 6 cars that are new this season, to get them into the place they are right now. And Kurt, he's done it before. He can do it again, and I think this could very well be his year. He's definitely one of my top picks to keep an eye on.
Definitely, and the fact that the momentum he's garnered within the last three races and to come home with a second-place finish, he doesn't have a win yet this year, but I think a couple of circumstances that could have went his way might have helped that. So he's one that I'd like to see win just because of the stature of the team he's with outside of Charlotte, single car, single driver. Yeah, they have some help from Childress Racing with the cars and the engines and things like that. But, you know, once it's in the team's hands, it's up to them to make it better or worse, and they've actually made it better. So that's probably one of the guys I'm going to pull for to win it all based on momentum and past experience. He did win the first ever Nextel Cup, which is now the Sprint Cup. So
exactly, which is why, of course, at Sprint, we have to have a very fond spot for it with Kurt for that exact reason.
I noticed you had a nice evening out at Old Original Bookbinders. I saw that lovely photo of you outside the door there. What did you think of the place?
Yes, now that was actually my first time ever really out and about in that area, and Bookbinders was kind of this this delicious, I would say, like Americana-type bistro restaurant, and we were there with Sprint customers and Sprint reps from across the area. We had a delicious meal, a great company, great conversation. I think I ended up having the salmon with some kind of butter sauce, and we were there for about just 3 hours just chatting and having a great time. It's one of those funny situations where you meet all these people. Of course, you know, we all have the relationship. We are working with Sprint, but you don't really necessarily know the person you're sitting next to, and racing is what brings us all together, and the conversation is just dominated by what was to come the following evening, what was to come in the next 10 races, the season so far. So it's really kind of great to know that what we all love to follow and watch is what can spark new friendships and conversation in a place you don't get to visit very often, in a lovely environment like Bookbinders.
Well, the original one was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I had commented on the Miss Sprint Cup page when I saw the picture and posted that there. And I didn't know whether they had moved to Richmond or opened up a second one. I wasn't quite sure. But definitely known for, you know, their seafood at the time, going back in the day. So apparently they still carry some of that motif on the menu.
There's definitely a lot of good seafood on that menu still.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'm glad you had a great time out with all your Sprint people and had them a good time, and things turned out nice for them and yourself, and get a chance to basically get away from the track and the hotel and take in some of the local stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Miss Sprint Cup, as part of our program, we're always so busy at the track doing things with fans and with drivers, hanging out at the Sprint Unlimited experience. But it's important to get out and explore what the cities have to offer. And we get to travel to so many great places that getting around Richmond was definitely fun, something I'd like to do again next year, and something we're going to be doing again here in Chicago next weekend. We're going to be leaving on Tuesday to get into the city. So hopefully we'll have a chance to do some sightseeing then. And, of course, fans can always follow along on everything we do at Miss Sprint Cup on Twitter, our Instagram, and, of course, our Facebook pages.
Wow, we added Instagram, too. How do you keep up with all that? Or does everything link in and do it all at once, hopefully?
We are everywhere.
For my Garage Talk Live Facebook page, it links to our Twitter page. So, and then I have my own Twitter account. So in case you wanted to follow me, I'm at GTL Vince.
Oh, so, perfect. Well, we'll definitely check that out, of course.
I don't really post too much there. If I could find a way to link Facebook with Twitter and save myself some thumb work or keyboard work, then it'll probably be the best. But as far as the chase goes, who else do you like as far as who do you think's got a shot?
Well, I mean, I think that we have a lot of strong contenders this season. But for who else I think has a strong shot, I think that Jimmy Johnson, the 48 car, it's hard to ever rule them out. They've had a little bit of a rough past several weeks. But we've seen that happen with this team before, and they bounced back. And they're definitely the one to beat again this year. Clint Bowyer, I mean, he hasn't won a race yet this season, but he's been really consistent in terms of his finishes. I know that kind of sets him back in terms of where he stands with points as we enter the chase. But just from watching his results, race in and race out, he's someone to keep an eye on. Carl Edwards taking the win last night. I love seeing Carl win because he just brings such great energy to victory lane. And, again, he's been very consistent all season long. And I think we'd already talked about Kurt Busch. You know, he's definitely someone on my radar. Kyle Busch, he's been racking up wins left and right. And he's someone to keep an eye on as well. It's hard to choose just one at this point because we are just starting the chase. I think after the next three or four races, I'll have a better idea as to who my pick is. But overall, I'm impressed by the field. Do you have a pick yet?
I don't have a pick yet. I know who I'd like to root for. I'd like to pull for Kurt Busch. Jimmy Johnson, like you said, you can't rule out. But having that momentum going in is a big plus. And last year, he had it going in, and Brad Keselowski as well, who also won at Chicagoland to kind of set the tone, and Jimmy Johnson had to play catch-up pretty much all chase to have a shot at the title, and they were neck and neck until that mishap in Homestead last year where Jimmy had some problems and Brad didn't, which enabled Brad to win the cup. But I think I'm kind of really leaning toward Logano or Kurt.
I like the Logano pick, and I like the Kurt pick. I back up both of those 100%.
And Carl has been running good. He did start leading the points early in long season, even though it's a 26-race season as opposed to the old 36-race season. With the win yesterday, of course, the late yellows helped him catch the restart. There were some questions on that, too, him jumping the restart from Paul Menard. So I wonder if that's anything that has to be addressed or if they're all going to look at the Michael Waltrip racing incident where it looked like saying it was a deliberate attempt by Clint to spin out to get Truex in the field. I don't know how they prove that or they have a lot of film to look at.
It's definitely something to consider. It is teamwork, and it is all about getting your teammate in. But if that's what happened, how are we to ever tell? Definitely. It was an exciting finish there in Richmond last weekend.
Oh, that's for sure. And then, if Newman is awarded the final wild card spot, he kind of unloaded on his pit crew after the race yesterday. So will that have a give them a spark in the next 10 races? Should he be a chaser, or do they kind of, or do they, you know, put in a mundane effort, maybe just get him in, get him out for the last 10 races of the season, knowing now that he's going over to take the 31 car next year? Boy, it's getting fun,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. I know, I love the news that he's found his future home. You know, it's kind of funny because I had a chance to sit down with Ryan Newman this past weekend, and I held an interview with him for Sprint Customers. One of my questions, of course, was, can we get a hint as to what's going to come for 2014? And this was 2-3 days ago, and he was so tight-lipped about anything, no hints whatsoever. But he had a little bit of a sly smile on his face. I think he was already aware of the deal, I'm sure. And we're just so happy that he is going to continue to stay with us for 2014. We also, I think we see a history of drivers moving to new teams and then doing very well. Kurt Busch is a great example. So maybe this is exactly what Ryan needs to become a member of the chase for 2014.
Well, this just in. Newman in, Truex out. Ryan Newman and Mark Martin in the chase for the Sprint Cup as part of NASCAR's penalties against Michael Waltrip Racing for manipulating the outcome of last weekend's race at Richmond. Ooh, the game gets the plot thickens and the game changes.
That is some exciting news right there. Now, I was actually keeping an eye on my Sprint iPad, but you probably uploaded before I did to get that. That's really a game changer right there. That is a huge piece of breaking news. And I'm glad to hear it, too. I'd like to see that Ryan's in the chase as well. But I'm sad for the driver who won't be any longer, but good for Newman.
Yeah, good for him, because now, being he already has a deal, it might take the pressure off. I mean, to get into the chase with Stuart Haas and then go ahead and, you know, all the pressure of trying to win the Sprint Cup, but it is pressure just about on everybody anyway. And the fact that they can concentrate, maybe that'll gel the team after some bad pit stops and they can come together and kind of get them off and on pit road and give Stuart Haas a possible second championship with Tony winning it a couple years ago. And now with Kevin Harvick coming over to Stuart Haas, there's still an open seat at RCR, so I wonder who's going to fill that one.
Well, we'll just have to find out in the next few weeks. I mean, it's kind of funny how silly season really does translate just from a couple months a year to the entire year. Here we are already talking about the final moves that teams will make, and I have a feeling that we're going to figure that out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's if it's not, or I mean, they have all the way up until, I guess, December when they start preparing for Daytona to keep the have anything finalized. I know they'd like to have things done by then, because if they make changes and all the early, they have a chance to get the driver in the car and start working on it for then. So we'll have to wait and see. It's getting kind of interesting, and I'll tell you, it's going to be one hell of a chase there, Brooke.
It sure is, and we'll definitely have to check in again to do another update on where we're at a couple races in, I think.
Yeah, we'll have to. That'll be definite. So you're going out to Chicago, and then I guess up to Loud. You have to be going to Loud, and that's your home track.
Absolutely, yes. So I have Chicago coming up, Dover as well, Loudon. I'm on for the next few races, which I'm really excited about. I love traveling with the circuit. It's so much fun to see different race fans every weekend. And Loudon for me, I mean, looking definitely a couple weeks ahead, but it's still one of my favorite tracks to go to. My family gets to come out, and some close family friends are there as well. And it's kind of a little bit of a homecoming to be back in New England and be back in New Hampshire, especially for me where the whole epiphany moment where I knew I wanted to become involved with racing happened.
That's pretty good. And, you know, I didn't get out to Richmond this year, so I didn't get a chance to head on out for the sprint experience and get a chance to see it. But as things progress over the course of time, and hopefully you'll still be a Miss Sprint Cup next year unless you make a big career change. And But I'll get out, try to get out to a few more races, maybe a Bristol or a Martinsville or somewhere a little close to home here. Richmond is all the way across the state for me, but I had to get there. I owed their PR staff a visit, so I wanted to make sure I got that done. I did have coverage out there. My associate Gil Smith was out taking pictures, and he gets a lot of fine shots for me. So if you were on Facebook, I'd say go hit a like on my Garage Talk Live page, and feel free to post stuff that everybody's allowed to post things on if it's interesting and all that. So it's always fun.
Absolutely.
Have you on the show and talk about things that are coming up and what's going on. And I'll tell you, this weekend in Richmond really made things interesting, and there is a lot to really talk about. So you came on at the right time, I guess.
Yeah, I think I sure did. Absolutely. And like you said before, I hope we get to see you again at a couple of the races this season. We've got 10 left. Hopefully we'll find one more to catch up.
Yeah, that's for sure. If not, you can always get a hold of me. I think I'm on LinkedIn as well. So there's so many social media sites. I don't know how people keep track of it all.
There are a ton. Speaking of social media, for fans that do follow us, definitely keep a close eye on the coming weeks. We're going to have a lot of really great behind-the-scenes content. And we save a lot of our moments that we get up close and personal with drivers for the chase. So if you have a question for your favorite driver, let us know on Twitter using the hashtag AskMSC, and we'll get those answers for you, and we'll post them online on our social media pages because this really is the chance to get those final questions in before the season ends.
Oh, good, because I have the NASCAR 13 app on my phone, and I went to click on it because I wasn't getting any notifications, and it asked me if I want to add a whole bunch of neat stuff. So you want to tell us about all the neat stuff that they're putting on the app?
Absolutely. The app is fantastic. I was actually talking with someone else earlier today about how they were using it when they couldn't get to the race and they couldn't get to a TV. But they did have self-service, so they were able to connect, and they were getting live race updates. You can follow the leaderboard as it's happening. And they're also, you can tune into the driver in-car audio. So you can hear what your favorite driver is saying over the radio. A race like last weekend definitely would have been a really interesting one to tune in for. And there's always the news streaming news section. So if you're looking for the latest updates, for example, the breaking news tonight with the wild card, the NASCAR Mobile 13 app delivers that to you. You can set up push notifications so all that new news comes directly to your phone. You don't miss a thing. And it's free for Sprint customers, but regardless, it's something definitely worthy of downloading. I use mine all the time, especially when I'm leaving a track early, if I'm not in Victory Lane that evening. And it's really a helpful, fun app, no matter if you're at the race, if you're watching from home, or you just can't get to either.
And it's always a cool app to have anyway, no matter what you're using it, but Sprint, with the Sprint Unlimited, and you have the unlimited data, unlimited voice, unlimited text. Oh, here, I'll give you the rundown. Daytona Beach, this is NASCAR has issued the penalties to Michael Waltrip Racing following the sanctioning body's review of Saturday night's race at Richmond International Raceway. MWR found to have violated Section 12-4, actions detrimental to stock car racing. That's pretty vague, but it does get specific. As a result, MWR's three teams in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the 15, 55, and 56, have been penalized with the loss of 50 championship driver and 50 championship owner points, respectively. These points assessed following the season's 26th regular season race and not after the seeding for the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. Therefore, the point total for the 56 car driven by Martin Truex Jr. is reduced to 691, put him in 17th, and eliminating him from the second wild card berth for the Chase Field. Ryan Newman, the driver of the 39 car, now moves up into the chase as the second wild card participant. And here's the real expensive stuff. Michael Waltrip fined $300,000 and indefinitely suspended Ty Norris, MWR Executive Vice President, General Manager, and Spotter for the 55 car. for violation of Section 12-4. Three crew chiefs, Brian Petty of the 15, Scott Miller of the 55, Chad Johnson of the 56, have all been placed on NASCAR probation until December 31st.
My, oh my. That's a hefty decision right there. That explains why the press conference was called at such short notice, especially taking out the crew chief for Clint Bowyer. That'll be very that'll be something to look towards and to really closely follow when we get toward racing again in Chicago.
Yeah, that's for sure. But adversity is what makes teams better if they can overcome it. So we'll just really have to wait and see now that Clint Bowyer is the only MWR car in the field. And he's got a long road to hoe. The fact that he didn't have a win might... he's still seated down in the bottom half anyway. So the points really wasn't a big loss to him. I think as far as Truex goes, that was the real killer.
Yeah, I completely agree. Wow, that is some news. It might take a moment to digest all of that, I think, but that's definitely very, very interesting. I'm sad to hear, like I said before, that Truex is no longer in the chase, but it's exciting to have Ryan Newman join us as well there.
That's for sure. And at least it adds another team into the chase instead of having multi-cars for one team or another. So it adds some fresh blood. And I'm sure Ryan Newman's going to want to go out this season with a bang. Here's his chance to do it. So if he has the car and stays out of trouble, who knows? You can throw him into the mix as well.
Absolutely. At this rate, anything is possible.
Boy, it's getting wild and hairy, I'll tell you. It's sure. I'm glad I'm not a part of the Michael Walter racing team, but because of the penalties they took, but it just makes things more interesting for 10 races starting off this coming weekend in Chicago.
Absolutely. Cheers to that. It's going to be an exciting ride.
That's for sure. Well, Brooke, I guess we about covered it all, didn't we, girl?
I think we did a pretty good job, absolutely.
Well, I'd like to thank you for joining me, and we'll touch base a couple races down. You pick the one you want to call in on, and as a matter of fact, you want to go 2, 3, or you want to go halfway, and then we'll wrap up the season.
Let's go as soon as we can. How does that sound? As soon as we have another race behind our belts, we can look towards that.
Okay, well, that could be next week. Do you want to come back?
All right, Vince, well, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure having you on. You're great to talk to, and we always seem to cover a lot. And thanks again for joining me, and we'll see what happens in Chicago.
Here's to Chicago.
All righty. Take care now.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye. There you have. You have heard it here first. With a little help from my friends out in internet, out on the internet, interweb, previewing the chase with Miss Sprint Cup Brooke Werner. We'll be joined shortly by the new driver of the number 30, I think it was a Chevrolet for Swan Racing, Mr. Cole Witt. So when I heard that he was making the change, that tried to get him on, so we get some new stuff. So he's going to make his debut actually this weekend in Chicagoland. So Shremi is out as of now, and probably good for the team. It's actually the number 30 Toyota. Pardon me there. I'm glad I got this before he called in. So if you want to we'll check in coming up later. We'll have Gil Smith, my man, on the track at Richmond covering the race and also the Grand Prix of Baltimore last weekend, so that was fun. So, thanks to Miss Sprint Cup Brooke Werner. It was great to have her on. She's always a fun to have on. So, the season's starting to wind down, and the race for the chase, I mean, the race for the Sprint Cup is on. The chase commences this coming Sunday. So, it should be fun. Now, does anybody think that Michael Waltrip Racing was fined, was penalized too severely? Or do you think the punishment fits the crime, so to speak? Anyway, if you want to chime on in, let me know. We'll take some, try to take some calls in the last segment show. I think we're going coast to coast tonight. 9:30, Tammy Ullman will join in as she made her dirt track debut, my old partner there. Been tending to things, going through some stuff, and getting now taking up dirt track racing. I guess she got tired of motorcycles. We'll have to find out. Anyway, trucks were also in action with all the hubbub going on with the Sprint Cup race and all the activity that went through there. It turns out, you know, well, I guess the forgotten stepchild was the truck series, and it was the Fan Appreciation 200 presented by New Holland out at the Iowa Speedway, and driver James Buescher was able to take home the win with Ross Chastain finishing second. Ty Dillon coming in third. Fourth was Johnny Sauter. Darrell Wallace Jr. fifth. Herman Caroga was sixth. Matt Crafton, current points leader, seventh. Jeb Burton eighth, another good run for him. Ninth was Eric Jones. And 10th was Ryan Blaney. Well, right now, I'd like to jump on over. I'd like to bring to the show driver of the number 30 Toyota for Swan Racing, Mr. Cole Witt. Cole, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. It seems like you're doing pretty well of late. You got a big-time ride coming up this weekend in Chicago, then, for your debut. Got any butterflies yet, or are you all set to go?
I don't know if we're set to go, but I'm not feeling really butterflies either. I'm just there and see what, you know, Swan Racing can do. You know, looking forward to, you know, growing with this team and giving them some good runs here at the end of the season. Hopefully get them excited to go for next year. So just more or less excited to get out there and see what we can do.
Well, last we had seen you full-time was driving for Junior Motorsports in the Nationwide Series, and you had a pretty good run there, and needless to say, they went in a different direction, but your talent has shown to come through as you've done pretty well there. And now that you're finally getting a Sprint Cup ride, so I guess patience pays off, and it also helps, you know, being in the right place at the right time, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I never really let myself kind of fade away or, you know, go anywhere. You know, I just stayed busy and worked hard with Mark Smith over at TriStar. And, you know, I think a lot of that had to do with that. And then, you know, they said that they've noticed me, you know, obviously with Junior's deal. And then all the way back even to when I ran a couple races with Red Bull before. So, and then this season, obviously running with the 44 car with TriStar. So, you know, it's been a lot of hard work to work with Mark Smith and those guys, but, you know, to get an opportunity with Swan and the 30 car and, you know, see what we can do. That's a big, you know, good opportunity to be able to come on board and get after it.
Well, it seems like they didn't waste any time getting you in the car getting you in here for Chicagoland. Probably this way you get 10 races this year under your belt to get ready for Daytona next year.
Yeah, it'd be good. I'm not sure if we're going to get to do all the races for the end of the season, but, you know, they signed me on to do 5 here, and, you know, Chicagoland would be a good start, and then a couple more to finish out the season would be good, and, you know, hopefully hopefully get in some good runs and get some good confidence built up. But, you know, more or less is just kind of looking to build this team up into, you know, a top team, and for them to, you know, bank on, you know, having me come in and drive the car and try to grow with me is pretty cool. So it says a lot about the team looking into the future.
Well, they got you scheduled here. It says for Kansas, Charlotte, Talladega, and Phoenix as well. You like the fact that, I mean, they're throwing you in the super speedway to get, I guess, get you some pack driving experience. But you know, being in the Nationwide Series and the Cup Series now, you get some Gen 6 car and try to get some of that on you. About the rest, mile and a half, except for Phoenix, which is a mile. So just get a comfort zone going in the car for those three tracks as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously going to the super speedway, anything can happen. And you know, it's a race. You know, if your car fires up on that day, you know, you got a chance at winning that race or at least having a good run. So, you know, always look forward to those just for, you know, a good weekend to have fun. But, you know, also just mile and a half are, you know, obviously kind of just the common thing that –
Hello? Cole?
Can you hear me?
You broke up a little bit, but I missed the last part of your statement. Yeah.
Okay, I was just saying, see that series and everything, and, you know, it's just kind of something that we need to focus on and definitely be the best there, and then obviously going to Phoenix would be, get a chance to a little bit of a short track, but, you know, more or less just get in on the mile and a half. You know, it's obviously the most common racetracks we go to. So to stay good there is, you know, you can kind of carry something from each track when you run, you know, the same mile and a half for the most part.
Yeah, being that's most of the tracks anyway, at least, you know, I guess give you a track where, you know, like instead of like going to Dover where there's a good chance of getting gathered up in something out of your doing, probably keep save the equipment and keep you on the nice fast tracks with high banking.
It's just, that's also been, you know, just one of something I enjoy too. I like the fast tracks. I mean, I like any track we can go race at, but, you know, I really enjoy the high bank, you know, mile and a half speedways, super speedway tracks are just kind of been something that I've always run good at and have a lot of fun at them. So I'm pretty happy we got to run all of them.
So you're going to be also running the 44 still for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I'm going to run I'll run the 44 at Texas and Homestead, and then possibly looking at doing Kentucky also, and possibly Dover, but not sure right now. It's just kind of a race-to-race basis thing with Mark Smith, and just whenever we get the opportunity.
Well, that's good to know. So, anyway, it's good to see that you're getting a solid cup chance for next year and get a chance to get some laps in this year and get some gel time with the team, because that's half the battle, right, getting used to the pit crew and the crew chief and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, that's always a big part is learning the communication between the crew chiefs and drivers and, you know, try to get in there this week as much as possible and get in touch with all the guys and, you know, try to get in there and gel and you know, just kind of get along with all the guys is definitely a big thing. So, you know, if we're going to do something next year, you know, you definitely want to start, you know, prepping for it now for sure. So hopefully if we have some good runs and we want to continue on to 2014, you know, we could have a good year.
Yeah, you want to get that rhythm going and get some stability in there and learn to and have the gel part. This way, at least the tracks that you're going to, you'll be able to do that a bit more. It's like you said, Talladega, anything can happen.
It's yeah.
It's a matter of how the team wants to play the strategy. Have you either stay away from the trouble or try to run up front. But usually, I guess when you're new in the car, the best thing to do is to stay out of trouble that way, but you still can't plan on anything.
Yeah,
how do you like
I mean, for what's that?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, for their team, you know, I think more or less we would just go race, especially at super speedways and stuff. You know, these they've been very clear, you know, as far as, you know, in the meetings that they really just want to, you know, they want to go hard from the get-go every chance they can and, you know, just give it all we can. So, you know, I'm pretty excited the fact that, you know, they want a driver that's can hang up, you know, give it everything he's got every lap. And, you know, if we're going to go race for it, you know, we're going to go race every chance and every lap. So, you know, we'll try to get up front and run up front any chance we can do that.
Is this your first time in a Toyota? Because I know you've been in the Chevys before, so I was just wondering if this is your first time in a Toyota.
No, I ran a Toyota with when I did the Red Bull races.
Oh, that's right. Sorry about that. Just Red Bull, you know, it's a shame to see them leave the sport because, you know, having a sponsor as your team owner there kind of had the kind of consistent backing you needed, and everybody likes Red Bull anyway. But so you're familiar with the Toyotas, at least now you'll be getting to drive the Gen 6 car. A little bit trickier from the older stuff, so we'll see what happens in Chicago, and hopefully you'll have some success there, and we'll be following you, and glad you could join us, and hopefully you'll be able to come on again.
Absolutely, I appreciate it.
All right, Cole, and have fun with the new team. It's going to be a little bit of work, but you know how sometimes hard work pays off better, and thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys, and have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have Cole Witt joining us here on Garage Talk Live, talking about driving for Swan Racing for 5 races out of the last 10. In the Toyota Camry, and running full-time next year in the Sprint Cup Series. So, personally, I don't want to say this to him right there, but David Strummy, I guess they went to a driver that had some Cup experience. I also, a few years back, questioned Chip Ganassi on that signing, if they're seeing what he had done with Fitz Bradshaw Racing. Anybody who remembers the old 14 Supercut car back in the Nationwide Series a few years ago will know what I'm talking about. But anyway, if you want to give us a call on what's going on, what happened this past weekend, and a hammer coming down on Michael Waltrip Racing, give me a call right now, 646-649-1899. The line is open. And at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Gil Smith, who was covering Baltimore, the Grand Prix of Baltimore, and the last race to make the chase. So we'll touch base on that because he had some on-the-ground experience at both events, and maybe he can shed some light on what he saw. Because when he gets those great picks, he's always in a good spot. He's able to see what goes down. So, anyway, big, big stuff. We'll have to find out about more on that. And going to Chicagoland this weekend, we have a mile-and-a-half track, not quite the cookie-cutter that Charlotte, Vegas, Atlanta, and Texas are. Chicagoland more is a Kentucky Speedway clone. Those two cars are, those two tracks are more like a different setup, almost the same, but not quite. So they're pretty much sister tracks where the Atlanta, Charlotte, which we're going to go back to in a couple weeks as well to get Matter of fact, let's take a look at the Chase tracks coming up. We have Chicagoland, mile and a half. Fairly wide and not really banked. Then we go to the 1 mile, the Magic Mile as it's called, out at New Hampshire Motor Speedway out in Loudoun, where our guest Brooke Warner got solid her love of racing going there, being from Vermont, Miss Vermont USA, I might add. Then we come to the Monster Mile, Dover International Speedway, in a couple of weeks. That's always a tough track for any race, let alone a chase race. And it used to be the second race in the chase. Now it's the third, because they stuck Chicagoland in as the first race. It used to be Loudoun, then Dover. Now it's Chicagoland, Loudoun, and then Dover. And then out to Kansas Speedway for their race out there. And then we go to Charlotte. I remember when the race in Charlotte was around the 6th of October, where Kansas is now. They bumped that down a week. They don't have any more off days in between. Talladega, towards the end of October. There's another, what you would call a guessing game for drivers in the chase there. Then Martinsville, that paperclip, always a tight track. Chase cars can have problems, get wrecked there. Then out to Texas, then Phoenix, and then wrapping up the season November 17th for the Ford weekend at Homestead, Miami. So you got the Ford 200, the Ford 300, and the Ford 400. So it's kind of interesting to see how it's going to race it up. So the way it's looking at for Loudoun, for Chicagoland, whoever comes out of there with the win has got a special advantage, because they get to go into Loudoun and have a chance to maintain a points lead. It used to be when the race started at Loudoun, when they went into Dover for race two, that was a question mark. And sometimes if you made it through race two, it used to be a point of whoever won Dover never actually won the Sprint Cup until 2 years ago. Make that 3 years ago, when Jimmy Johnson won his fifth in a row. He did win at Dover that year and broke the cycle. So that being said, it's pretty going to see who it is. So if you can get Chicagoland and hold serve in Loudoun, then you go into Dover with a chance to either increase your lead or have it get taken away. But you could still wind up leaving there with three races under your belt. Going into race number four. So if you can get through Dover with the points lead, chances are now you'll have a good shot because of the way the schedule plays out. Anyway, we were wrapping up the Truck Series race in Iowa when Cole Witt called in. It's good to have him on the show. And out at that 7/8 of a mile tri-oval, just under a mile. So it's considered a short track, but almost the intermediate speedway length, and it kind of makes for great racing there. I think Rusty Wallace, who owns the track, did it right when they made that. Then I'd like to see a cup race there and see what they can do, especially with the Gen 6 car. But we did run out the top 10. And the race took an hour and 53 minutes and 31 seconds. The average speed, 98 miles an hour. 200 laps was the the regulation distance it had went over time, finished at 212 laps. The thing about this one, the Truck Series drivers did not have any Sprint Cup drivers in the field, so they were able to earn all the points. Ross Chastain, who finished second, led five times for 116 laps, so he wound up with a good chunk of bonus points there. And the only other double-digit lap leader was Timothy Peters. So you had six cautions for 35 laps, 12 lead changes amongst six drivers. We had Ross Chastain on the show when he first started to drive the 19. Maybe we ought to get him back in. But anyway, the Camping World Truck Series points top 10 are Matt Crafton. Second right now is James Buescher. Third is Ty Dillon. Ty Dillon might be able to grab second. He's 21 points behind Buescher. Buescher is 37 behind Crafton, so it might be tough to get. You can do it in 10 races, but somebody has to have some bad luck. Jeff Burton, rookie this year, in fourth. Fifth, Tim Peters, who seems to run pretty good wherever he goes. Seventh, Ryan Blaney. Eighth, Johnny Sauter. Ninth, Darrell Wallace Jr. And 10th, an old guy in the series, probably one of the oldest guys in the Truck Series, next to Ron Hornaday Jr., is Brendan Gaughan, so another former guest of the show. I think I can pretty much pick out the former guests from the Truck Series right now. There's a good bit of them, but anyway, that rhymes up the Truck Series race. Of course, going to the Nationwide Series race on Friday night. It turned out to be this is a sad story here. I'm part of the group fans of Brian Scott. Brian Scott qualified on the pole. He led the first 239 of the 250 laps. It came down to a restart. Of course, Scott said Keselowski, and it kind of looked like he might have jumped the restart a little bit. But, you know, they do have the restart at the restart zone. So that's where it came down to. And then now I'm just looking at the finishing order here. And, you know, to drive off that long looked like it was going to be a day for the Nationwide regulars. And to have it come down to a restart and a questionable, depending on who you are, of course, could they have black flagged Keselowski and had Brian Scott go on the win? I don't know, but Brian and Scott should have won that race. And, I mean, it was a pretty fast race. It was an hour and 55 minutes and 37 seconds long. Margin of victory, 1.9 seconds. So Keselowski did get the pull away from Scott, but I think he was a little deflated on that. And but it was his race to win, and it all came down to a late wreck and on lap 231. It wasn't, and there was an accident a little later on between, you had a debris caution at lap 231, and then an accident when they went back green at lap on lap 236. So after they went green, they wrecked. So there was only one lead change amongst two drivers, and it all happened to come at the end of the race. And Brad Keselowski won for owner's points. He's in a battle. Roger Penske is in a battle with Joe Gibbs with the 54 car going for owner's points, and that was driven by Kyle Busch. Kyle not having a good day. I mean, he finished well. He finished fourth, but he didn't lead any laps and was never really a factor. It was Brian Scott today, and of course, Scott now driving the 2 car for Richard Childress Racing, when last year he drove the 11 car for Joe Gibbs Racing. Him and Elliott Sadler pretty much swapped rides, one going to Sadler, leaving the 2 and going to the 11 for this year, and vice versa for Scott. But it turned out to be a good day for Roger Penske and Brad Keselowski, with him leading the last 11 laps to steal the victory out of Brian Scott's mouth. I don't want to talk to Gil about that, because he was probably down there watching as we can get that winner crossing the line. So be able to see what happened. He'd be able to tell me what happened from having a bird's eye view down there. Reagan Smith, number 7, came home 3rd. Like I said before, Kyle Busch at 4th. Trevor Bayne, 5th. 6th, Sam Hornish Jr. 7, Brian Vickers in the Joe Gibbs 20. Of course, he got spanked with a loss of 50 driver points for Michael Waltrip Racing in the Cup Series, but he didn't have many to begin with, just running part-time there between him, Mark Martin, and Michael Waltrip. But, he has a chance to win a nationwide title. That's mainly what he's running for anyway this year. 8th, Elliott Sadler. 9th, Ryan Reed. And filling in the number 5 car for Dale Earnhardt Jr. this time, it was Jamie McMurray. So, as the nationwide series points go, right now Sam Hornish still maintaining his lead over Austin Dillon. For a while there, they were running neck and neck in points with Dillon, taking a 1-point lead because Dillon was in a better position than Hornish. But as it got towards the end there, Hornish came on strong and Dillon faded back. So Sam was able to maintain his points lead over Austin Dillon. Reagan Smith still in the 3rd slot. Elliott Sadler 4th. Justin Allgaier 5th. 6th, Brian Vickers. 7th, Brian Scott. 8th, Trevor Bayne. 9th, Kyle Larson. And rounding out the top 10 in nationwide points is Parker Kligerman. So as the series winds down, heading towards Homestead, all the heat's going to be on Sam Hornish Jr. to maintain the top spot there. No chase to recycle anything and all that kind of stuff. It was good to see Johanna Long back in the race, finishing 19th on the lead lap. And but every time she's not in that car, it always finishes down the bottom 10. So good to see her back in the car, and we get to chat with her in the upcoming weeks. So there you have your nationwide wrap-up, and going to the Cup Series. Now, of course, NASCAR never changes the finishing position of the race, but as we all know, the big news was Michael Waltrip getting hit with a very large fine and loss of points, suspensions. It got ugly, folks. They penalized the whole team, nothing but the team. Poor Brian Vickers in the 55 car. I don't even think the 55 had anything to do with anything, but they pretty much screwed the Rudham Royal. I'd like to thank Debbie Musgrave of Nat NBS Racing blog on Facebook, for Ted Musgrave, former Camping World Truck Series champion Ted Musgrave's wife, for posting up the fines and penalties. I guess she was she has inside info, so. But, wow, $300,000. Ty Norris suspended indefinitely. I mean, he's been with Michael Waltrip Racing from the beginning, and before that, Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. He was one of the head guys that handled the Waltrip, Dale Jr. and Steve Parks cars back then. Of course, Steve Meehl, one of the other guys at the top of the hierarchy of DEI. I think when they lost those two guys, that's when the team went a little south. So, but I don't know. 50 points apiece, and costing Truex his place in the chase, giving that to Ryan Newman. I wonder if Newman's considered this an early Christmas present. I mean, makes an announcement now that he's going to Richard Childress Racing and driving the 31 car. Last week, Jeff Burton announced that he wasn't going to drive that car. He was leaving the team, so now he's looking for a ride. A.J. Allmendinger's in the 47 car, so Bobby Labonte's looking for a ride. And this past week, this was the last race with James Finch as the owner of the 51 car that Ryan Truex piloted around this week. So next week the new owners take over, so we'll have to see who's in that car. Marone me, as they say in Italian. I can't. There's too much going on. So you have Stremme out of the 30. Colwitt in next week. That's a five-race stint this year, and then full-time in 2014. Can you believe we're talking about 2014 already? Ryan Truex in the 51 car, but I don't know if he's going to stay there the rest of the year or not. Tony Raines was in the 33 car when usually he drives... usually he drives a nationwide 70 car when Johanna's not in it. Danica Patrick, now I've been hearing rumors now. I don't know how true this is, but before they signed Kurt Busch, that she might have been out of a ride. But, you know, you got to give her, they were saying it would take her 3 years in Cup. And if she didn't improve in 3 years, then it's a different story. She's young enough. If the cars are good enough, we'll have to wait and see. She did qualify on the pole for the Daytona 500, and needless to say, had a good finish in that race, but hasn't shown much after that. I'm just trying to pick off the rest of the silly season stuff that's here. Kevin Harvick, of course, going to Stuart Haas next year. So you got Stuart, Harvick, Kurt Busch, and Danica Patrick going to be on that team. Newman is going to Childress Racing. Kyle Larson is going to take over the 42 car next year for Juan Pablo Montoya, who's out of a job. I wonder if he's going to I wonder if Childress is going to give him a shot. Maybe a difference in the cars might help old Juan, even though they are using, I think they share engine technology with Earnhardt Ganassi, so I'm not too sure about that. I'll tell you. It's going to be a fun chase. Okay, and Katniss Sprint Cup. Brooke wants to come on board, I guess, every couple of races to check in. So we'll keep her in mind. And right now I'd like to welcome to the show my man on the ground in Baltimore and Richmond, Gil Smith. Gil!
Hey, how you doing, Vince?
How am I doing? I don't know. I'm trying to make a sense of all that happened. You had a couple busy weekends yourself going to Baltimore and Richmond. And I don't know what you saw at Richmond at the end of the cup race, but I don't know if you heard Michael Waltrip's team got spanked today.
Yeah, I saw that. It was, I didn't see it coming, but, you know, I was kind of hoping it would happen, you know, to be honest with you. The cup race at Richmond was really pretty uneventful until the last three laps. You know, it was, Ryan Newman was running strong towards the end, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see Clint Bowyer spinning down the front straight. You know, nobody spins out on the front straight in Richmond. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, there he is spinning down the front straight, didn't touch a wall or anything, and we all looked at each other going, what the heck was that, you know? And we watched it play out. It was just before we got a green-white checker. Ryan Newman was you know, just dominating. He was running for the win, and he was solid in the chase if he'd have won the race, of course. And, you know, there it was, a restart, and he didn't have the tires. And, you know, once we got a restart, we knew he wasn't gonna dominate the rest of the race. So, you know, we all looked around at each other. Race finished up. Everybody came into the pit lane, and I was standing right there where Ryan Newman pulled up to take his second spot for interviews, and he was hot. I mean, he's a pretty reserved guy, and he doesn't show emotion very much, but he was hot, and he burned some tires in the pit lane coming up to his stall to do interviews, and not a happy fellow, to say the least.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he threw his pit crew under the bus because basically they kind of killed him on stops all day. But, you know, he was running strong. He did get his way to the front and looked like he did have the race won until the shenanigans, I guess we can call it that, that happened. And but now he gets an early Christmas present, I guess, because NASCAR fined all Waltrip team drivers 50 points apiece and puts Truex out of it. And Newman's back in.
Yeah, Ryan Newman slides in the last spot. I mean, I guess the real question is if, you know, you look at the timing and scoring when the spin happened, who was where they were, and do you set it back there? I mean, that's the real question. If you do that, then Gordon gets in and Ryan Newman doesn't. You know, it's kind of an interesting, actually, Casey Kane doesn't get in. Ryan Newman, you know, you give him the win, and then Gordon comes in behind Casey Kane. So, you know, how do you sort all that out? You know, do you set it when the penalty occurred, or do you set it at the end of the race? And NASCAR chose to set it at the end of the race. So, I mean, they make the rules, and they see how it goes. And, you know, $300,000 later and a suspension, you know, there we have the top 12.
Yeah, $300,000. I think it's going to be the biggest fine on record for the sport.
Yeah, well, it's an indefinite suspension for the GM and the spotter. So, you know, I don't know how long it'll be before we see Ty Norris back again. But, you know, three crew chiefs are you know, on the bench too. You know, Brian Patty, Scott Miller, and Chad Johnson. Those are Brian Patty's been around a long time. You know, I don't know if he knows how to sit a bench, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it all starts off in February and into the chase. I don't know when they'll levy those, but it's going to be tough. You know, got to chase ahead, and you know, Ryan Newman's the only Stewart Haas car in the chase. So, see how that works out for him. I'm not sure how long he's going to last.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, unless Tony Stewart gives Newman his pit crew But from what I can see is the three crew chiefs, Patty Miller and Johnston, they were just placed on probation. They weren't benched, so.
Yeah, well.
So they can still.
Yeah, you got the probation, so I don't know, how that'll sort out. I mean, they're going to be watched, but what's it take to sit you down?
Yeah, well, with Ty Norris, I think he's the big guy there. And
yeah, indefinite suspension is kind of, you'll be back when we think we're ready to have you back.
Yeah, which will mean Daytona.
I believe you're right.
They'll probably be done for the rest of the season. I mean, it's not like they can't call the shots from a bus in the parking lot like they did a few years ago with Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, that's true. They pretty much take you out of the game completely, and you're watching TV at home on a cell phone and see what can happen.
Now, that's pretty interesting, though. But, the one I feel bad for is the 55 car. They had nothing to do with this. So why punish, poor old Brian Vickers and his crew chief just riding the string out because Martin left for Thrive Stewart's car.
Yeah, yep, you're right. They're just riding around trying to make a race, and here they are out of it. The car's out of it altogether. I was on one of the photo stands sitting in turn 3 and turn 4. Michael Waltrip was down in the garage, and in Richmond you can see turn 3 and 4 from the garage. And, he's down there pacing back and forth, watching everything happen. And, he's nervous. And, he's a guy that he'll climb up on a photo stand to watch everybody. And he's got the headset on. And he's just real busy. And, he's obviously involved in a race. So, team orders, I don't know. Yeah, hard to tell. If that's an F1 term. But, I don't – you never know. But they made the call, and, it is what it is. So, Ryan Newman sitting on the bottom and Matt Kenseth on the top. So.
And, from what what Dale Jr. said after the race, that Boyer kept hitting his brakes. I don't know if he was trying to get Jr. to bump him so he could spin out, but Jr. said he never hit him. And they really didn't have a good camera angle for TV, believe it or not. ESPN normally pretty good on that stuff.
Right.
They didn't have a good shot of it, so I don't know. I thought, depending on where you were at, if you had a good vantage point to see it, because you usually catch some hellacious shots like that.
Yeah, overall, I mean, for a fall race in Richmond, it was a pretty clean race, until, like I said, the third lap, the last three laps, and that's when it got a little crazy. But, there's usually something, mid-race, somewhere between halfway and three quarters long, that gets everybody a little out of hand. That didn't happen. It was really, really a pretty calm race until the end. I didn't see anybody bumping and pushing. It was, really pretty clean. It was kind of, I don't know, I think because there were so many people in contention, for the chase that, the mood was just that it seemed a little different for a Richmond fall race. Normally everybody's pretty relaxed, and they're happy because, three quarters of the field is locked in and they're having a good time. And I mean, there were just so many that were in contention. Everybody was just, everybody had their game face on, just not your typical Richmond race. And again, I think it ran pretty clean because of that till the end.
Yeah, it did. I think, it was, 5 cautions for 29 laps. That's clean for Richmond.
Yeah, that's real clean.
There was 11 in April when I was there. I actually got to meet Amy and and the gang.
You mean you were there in April and I missed you?
Yeah, well, you couldn't go, so I figured I owed her a visit anyway.
Very good.
So
I
went in your place.
Excellent. Yeah, I got to see her briefly and, of course, appreciated her for having Garage Talk there at the race every time. And, they just put on a good show at Richmond. It's a great track and a good staff. They built a photo room for us now, so we're not in a trailer, so we feel a little more appreciated.
I think, that's where they put the rest of the media, is that back garage with the garage door there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little spoiled with Dover. You really can't see much of the race while you're in that room, but they do have a lot of
they do have it accessed well with hard line internet and all that kind of good stuff. So that, but
yeah, there's hard lines.
Deloitte did your job, and
well, we got the hard lines and the TVs.
Yeah, and she, but she didn't have the photo credentials. So I just put her for media.
No, okay.
And you got the better access out of all of this because I had cold passes and all that. So.
Well, I enjoy the good access, and this race I was in between Jamie McMurray's pit and Kurt Busch, so I had some good company. There was a starting park between them, so I was able to get in there, and McMurray's crew was very accommodating, so they let me in and get some good shots there.
Cool. There's a guy to watch for the chase, Kurt Busch, believe it or not. That's who my dark horse is. I think it's going to come down to him and Logano.
Yeah, you know, Kurt's running well. I think, since the Jerry Punch incident, he's kind of found a new way. And, you see him at the track. He's a little happier. He's more relaxed. You don't see him lashing out at anybody anymore. He's got a real good attitude. And, you think back to early last season, the guy didn't have a ride. He was running for his brother. And, now he's in the chase. He's got sponsors back. He's got a good attitude. I'm with you. I think he's got a pretty good opportunity to really do something here.
Well, you realize, he was in the Blue Deuce. Then him and when Keselowski came over, Keselowski got the Blue Deuce. Kurt got the Pennzoil car, the 22 car, won the race at Dover that year. And then the thing with Jerry Punch, and then he was out of the Penske ride, went over to James Trench, the 51 car. Did pretty good, for what that car was.
Yeah.
Really,
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a good driver. There's no doubt about that. And he can make a decent car better. And you put him in a good piece of equipment, he's going to run well. And, he's running clean on the track. Like I said, his attitude's better. Got a decent pit crew behind him. Those guys are working hard. They flawless pit stops. They really look good. So I think he really does have a chance.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of pulling for.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do well. Everybody likes a good turnaround, and I think he's got the possibility to do it. Matt Kenseth sitting on the top. He's not that far ahead. There's probably, one through seven are within easy striking distance. One wreck, a couple of wins, the whole field can flip over. You just really don't know how it's going to end up. But, Matt Kenseth, look at him. Joe Gibbs Racing first year, he's sitting on top of the heap. And, he's doing real well. He's Mr. Consistent. Hasn't really made anybody mad this year, I don't think. He got a couple of wins, so he's sitting on top. I think he's got a good shot as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. How about Baltimore? Getting out back out on the streets.
IndyCar's a little different. Baltimore's a challenge. That's a really tight race course. It's hard to pass. They've got a chicane in the front straight that they set up with it's really just barriers and they call them turtles, and you have to move around the turtles. You hit one of those turtles, it launches you, so there's a lot of action right there. It's just real hard to pass. Ahead of the race, we were all sitting in the media room, and nobody's talking about Pagano, and we all look around at each other. It's like, who's got a chance? And everybody figured it was Pagano, and he came out of nowhere and won the race. Our friend of the show, Simona DiSilvestro, she was really an opportunist, ended up in the top 10, actually top 5, I think. Finished up a good race because she took advantage of some opportunity, pile-ups on the hairpins and everything, and she came out pretty well.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I had interviewed another – I had Charlie Kimball interview Monday prior to the race, so it was, and he did pretty well too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put on a good show. I mean, it's a good race. There's, you know, it's Baltimore, so the race is ringed with you know, good places to eat and pubs around the track, so you can sit at a pub and have a meal and a, you know, a couple of cold frosties and watch the race go by. And they do a pretty good job.
Oh, that's good. At least you were able to get in there. So you were there for the inaugural and now the third. I forget what happened with the second one.
Yeah, we weren't there. They're talking next year that, there's some real question whether Baltimore was even going to get the race for a while, but now it looks like they're going to have the race, but they're going to walk it back a couple of weeks in mid-August and get it off that Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, which I think will help.
Yeah, because everybody's away doing stuff. Well, let's take a caller. I got somebody on the line. I guess I want to chat with us. I'd like to welcome Bob from Texas. You're on with Vincent Gill. Bob, how's it going?
Hey, Bob.
It's going good, Vinny. Semper Fi, brother.
Semper Fi.
Been a long time, man.
Yeah, well, you're here with my man on the ground, Bill Smith, who was out of Richmond. And I guess you want to talk about what happened in Richmond?
Yeah, what's going on with Jimmy, man? Is this just a string of bad luck? Are they trying new stuff before the chase starts? What do you think?
I don't know about you, Gil, but Jimmy's had a rough 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's killing me. That's my boy, and, you hear this. Somebody was saying, oh, they might be trying something, a different engine package because they knew they were going to be in the chase. Do you think there's anything to that stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, Jimmy, I remember an interview with him a couple of years ago, and one of the writers asked him. He said, "Well, do you guys prepare for once you're locked in for the race? Do you guys prepare, start preparing your cars and getting ready for the chase races, and then worry about much else?" And he said, "Well, we always gave you the." The standard answer, well, we always race to win. But, once we're into the chase, we start setting up cars and we start setting up our crew to get ready for the chase. And you combine that with the idea that his wife just delivered a baby and she was due any time in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I think the guy's a little distracted. And now he welcomed a new baby into the world this weekend. He didn't get any practice at Richmond. So he pretty much showed up on Saturday morning and went to the race. So, all that considered, I think he's probably in pretty good shape. He's sitting at number two. He's five-time. He's got a good chance as anybody.
Yeah. I mean, my money's on him. I think he can do it. It just blew my mind all of a sudden. He really got this car down, and then 3 weeks in a row, it's like, wow. Tires, everything.
That's one thing you can't control, and whether you try something new or not with motors. Yeah, blowing a tire and hitting the wall is just something you can't control. So I don't think really it's just between what Gil said and a case of bad luck here and there. If he's locked in, it really didn't matter. It just, it would have been nice to bring home a couple extra trophies, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm thinking that he's not going to win the Sprint Cup again this year. I'm leaning more towards, Kurt Busch is a long shot, and my other pick would be Joey Logano because he's been picking up some momentum of late as well.
Yeah, that kid's on fire, man. He really is. He really is. What do you think, Carl Edwards, a choke again?
you want to please start off now?
You just never know. He's made it to the last race and choked him off. So he's got 10 more opportunities to do well and 10 more opportunities to choke. So I don't know.
All right, I don't know about the Roush team as a whole. Really, they haven't been all that consistent. I think Carl's been the most consistent, but Stenhouse is a rookie this year, and so he's got some growing pains. But, as long as Biffle's been with the team, I'd have thought he'd at least won one by now, but it seems like he's up and down all year long, too. I mean, Biffle's won a Truck Series championship, and I think he's won a Nationwide championship, so, he's on the
Biffle can drive.
Trifecta.
yeah, it's just weird, you know, the Fords, and then here you got Logano. You know, Keselowski was coming on, too, for a while there. I guess he's got the sophomore bug.
Yeah, the post-championship stress, I guess. Yeah. Seems to happen the past few years. You win the title, you're crap.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you mentioned Biffle. I always liked Greg, and he's a decent driver, but I just don't know, you know, why in Roush equipment he can't get it done. I mean, you look at who's around him. I mean, Carl Edwards is in there. You know, he's choked, you know, but he's been there. And, you know, Biffle's, you know, he's in the middle of the top 10, top 12. You never really see him get up there. He's got as good equipment as anybody, but he just doesn't get there. I don't know what it is, if it's, you know, if it's hard or if it's push or drive, or, you know, I don't know if he just doesn't take the risk, but, yeah, he just never gets up there. I don't understand that.
I know. You know, I live about 4 miles north of Texas Motor Speedway, and, you know, he'd come down here and own this place sometimes. And then I go to Vegas every year, and you know, he'll go out there sometimes and own it. But then he goes anywhere else, and is Greg who?
Yeah, you see, he can, you know, you're right. He runs at Texas. Why can't he run at Charlotte? Why can't he run at Las Vegas? Why can't he run at Michigan?
Or Atlanta.
I've watched him come here. You know, you guys have to come here to Texas and just check out and just own this place. And then nothing else.
Yeah, no, Texas is not different than any other speedway. Right. It's a little flatter, but there's no reason you can't run well anywhere else.
Yeah.
You look at Kansas. I mean, after he won the last of the Winston Cups, shows you how long. He's been with Roush all those years, won some Daytona 500s, looked like he was going to have a promising year, and then, lo and behold, back to the middle of the top 10 somewhere.
Yeah. Kenseth, you know, last championship winner without a win. You know, he's the reason. He's the reason there's win points now. You know.
Yeah, and he's the reason there's a chase too.
That's right.
He's in the what? Without a win? Yeah.
He was the last champion to win the title without a win all year long.
That's right. That's right. I like the chase.
Good things came out of that, in my opinion. I like the chase.
Yeah, other than Jimmy running the table for 5 years, but hey.
It's what NASCAR needed to compete with football.
Yeah, they had to do.
Yes, big time.
Really what it comes down to, is a championship series that competes with college and NFL football.
Yeah, instead of watching a football game on a Sunday, you turn on the race. That's exactly right. And I'm just impressed with Kurt Busch this year.
Yeah, considering that's the team to watch. One car, I already gets his equipment from Childress, but, you know, the team's got to do something with it.
Yeah, the pit stops, you know, if they get really, really, you know, fast, consistent pit stops and everything. Do you think I think he's got the mindset. It seems to me his mindset and his attitude has changed. You know what I mean?
Yep, I agree. You know, we were talking earlier that, you know, I see him at the track, and it's ever since the Jerry Punch incident where he kind of blew his cool. Well, he definitely blew his cool. It wasn't kind of. but lost his ride, lost his sponsors, and now he's back with a new attitude. And I think he's more thankful for having the opportunity he has. And I was standing next to the pit crew in the box at Richmond. That's a hard-working crew. Those guys are good. I was I was standing right there with them. They're quick. They're effective. They're working as hard for it as Kurt is. So, you know, he's got a lot of support. I'm with Vince. I think he'll do pretty well.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Who's going to drive that car next year?
That was a good question.
I don't know, Vince. You look at silly season.
I was going over silly season pretty much before you called in, Gil, and I was going to, and also talking about it with Miss Sprint Cup, Brooke Horner. Talk about a cutie. And, you know, it's just amazing the way this silly season worked. Newman's out. Now he's going to RCR. The 39 car is going to be retired anyway because Stewart has four cars in the fold that he didn't plan on.
Right.
Kurt Busch won
right
there. The 29 ride's still open. Who's going to fill that one? Montoya's out of a ride, so he might be there.
Where's
the 51 car? The 51 car is changing ownerships as of this week. Finch is out. Was his last race. Ryan Blaney was in that. Stremme is out of the 30 car, but no big deal there. But Cole Witt, who was on earlier, is taking over that ride in Chicagoland and for five races this year and all of next year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he drove the 88 nationwide for Dale Jr. when Danica was driving the 7, and all the attention went towards her, but he had a better year.
Yes, he did.
And,
yes,
true.
He did.
That's true.
Where's
that's
Jeff
true.
Burton going? Where do you think he'll end up?
I don't know. That's kind of interesting there, because there's another guy looking for a ride. He might, let's see, who it. The 47, that's a changed hand. Labonte out of there. A.J. Allmendinger in there.
Yeah.
Vince,
I don't
you
know.
Got Jamie McMurray. You got Jamie McMurray on their list there going anywhere up until the Cup again?
McMurray, I think he's still with I thought he was still with
Ganassi.
Yeah, he's staying at Ganassi, yeah.
Yeah,
he just got an extension.
Okay.
Yeah, Chip
all
likes
right.
him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't sure. I like him, too.
He's a nice guy,
yeah.
But, you know, he stepped
yeah.
in. He actually stepped into the ride as Sterling Marlin got hurt, had a couple quick wins.
Yeah.
I saw Chip Ganassi
yeah.
at the championship dinners in New York a few years back. I actually sat right next to him. I said, really? I said, Mr. Ganassi, I said, David Stremme, seriously, what were you thinking? And he gets, like, you know, the invisible knife, and he's, like, stabbing himself. You're killing me. You're killing me. Because I saw what Stremme did in the 14 Nationwide Supercuts car. It seemed like if he didn't wreck himself, he wrecked everybody else with him.
Yeah.
And
no,
to get that cup ride that year is, like, you know.
Hey, yeah, you know what the scariest thing I saw in the Nationwide race? Jeff Green back behind the wheel. Yeah, you know, he was driving.
Yeah, but he's not. When he was with the 10 car and he won that championship, he had a hell of a year and kind of, you know, made a name for himself there. And
oh yeah, yeah, he can get it done, but he can tear up some equipment.
Yeah, you know, it was good to see back in the Nationwide car this weekend, Johanna.
Oh yeah, yeah. She looked good. She ran pretty strong.
She back in it? Is she?
She's in the 70s.
Yeah, she's got a 21-race deal with ML Motorsports, and when she's not running, they kind of leash the number out to Tony Raines. So it goes from a Chevy to a Toyota. But when she's in the car, it was pretty well.
That way Tony can come in last with it or near it.
Yeah, it doesn't help the brand, the number, you know, the brand for the number, but...
No.
Yeah, no kidding.
But,
no. Man, what's that kid's name that was driving Kyle's car? Nationwide car. Kyle Busch.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't have it on me. I just X'd out of the standings.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like, where did he find this one at? Kid's pretty good.
He always finds good talent. Look at his number 54 truck, Darrell Wallace Jr., Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba. Gotcha. I mean, man, Bubba's. I think he's gonna do good personally. You?
Well, he's in Gibbs equipment, so it's hard to not do good.
Yeah. Once he gets some seat
That's
time,
true.
And, yeah, he's made some, I think, bonehead mistakes, in my opinion. But you know, he's gonna have to learn. But I think he gets a little aggressive. You know, I like that he'll get up there and run with him.
But he took the K&N East title his last year there, and he got a few nationwide rides last year and actually finished top 10 just about every race he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's running the Truck Series full-time, and he's in the top 10 in points. So you've got some work. Those truck series drivers are a lot rougher a little bit because you got the old guys, you got the young guys, and you got the middle guys. So
oh, I love watching them here at Texas, man. They mix it up.
Texas race is a good truck race.
That series mixes it up just about on every track. That's what's good about them.
Yeah,
they kind of turn loose in Texas, though.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Wow. It's great. It's awesome.
So, all right. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for the call, and I guess call in again sometime.
I will, man. Good. I will. I'll talk to you all later. Good talk to you, Vinny.
All right.
Later, Gil. Talk to you later, man.
Take care now. All right, Gil, sounds like we had a boatload of fun out there this past couple weekends. Glad you could hold down the fort. I was glad to fill your shoes when you went out to W's Ranch Library out there. I hope you had a fun time there.
Yeah, it was a great event. You know, it's always good to be in Texas, and I enjoy it down there and watching my president launch his library. Was really quite an honor, and got to sit up almost up front, as close as a regular guy can get without having the title of prime minister, president, or secretary. So I got as close as I could get, and got to see a lot of good friends. So it was a real honor to be there, and Lori and I really enjoyed it. Got to spend some time with some good friends, and everybody looked like they're doing well. I mean, I saw it. Of course, the president. President Bush W is happy and retired and excited about his library, and his father is doing well and in good humor. Asks everybody to check out his socks when he's out in his wheelchair. His thing now is to wear the colorful socks and show off with those. I got to see Vice President Cheney. He was on his feet, looking healthy. Everybody looks like they're doing well. So that was good to see.
That's pretty cool. All right, Gil, well, I better let you run and give me a shout sometime, and we'll see if we can sort some things out and make some hay.
Great. Sounds good. Appreciate the opportunity,
Vince. All right. Anytime. Have a great one.
Talk to you soon. Cheers.
Okay. Bye. I'd like to bring to the show my prodigal partner, Tammy Allman.
Hey, I'm still alive, believe it or not.
Still alive.
I'm still alive. I'm busy as anything.
Had Miss Sprint Cup, Brooke Werner, preview the chase when all the S hit the fan. I can actually say that. This is an internet radio.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want and anywhere.
I know.
We
had Cole Witt on, who was driving the 30 car this coming week and for the Swan Racing next year. And Gil, who was out of Richmond in Baltimore for us, he was on, and we got a caller from Texas.
Yeah, I was listening. That's pretty cool.
So I've been trying to hold the fort down. We were out gallivanting, playing Miss Race Car Driver now. We just put up the bike and switch to the car, get some some things to get squared away. So, but
super busy getting situated, you know, with my new role and everything that I took over this year at Grandview Speedway. That's taken up a lot of time getting adjusted and learning how to do a lot of the PR work and everything like that I've been doing there this year. And, of course, the regular photography and the writing and everything else. So keeps me a little busy. And, yeah, we made the decision a week ago that I was done motocross effective last Monday. And Wednesday I got word of a powder puff. And I went out and ran a powder puff last night in a PA Sportsman.
Okay, now.
Huh?
What's a powder puff? I mean, it looks modified to me.
It is. It's a PA Sportsman, pretty much the same principle, just different powerhouse. I'm really bad at that. I don't understand all that yet, and I should know all this, so I can get bad marks for that. But I'm learning. I'm a late model girl. I'm learning about these Sportsmans now. I'm getting a crash course. But powder puff is for the ladies, and it was pretty cool. There were six of us registered, but only four of us got it to get out there and run. And I'm really lucky. I got the chance to take Jason Neilinger's car out there, and I'm really super lucky because I couldn't get into gear. And it wasn't any of my fault of my own. lights or something stuck and it wouldn't go in, and we didn't know until afterwards it was stuck. But all I remember hearing on the radio was, first off, 97 go to turn two. Well, I've run the number 45 for 11 years, so 97, I'm just sitting there going, who are they? I'm like, oh, crud, they're talking about me. And then the push truck came up behind me and jolted me and pushed me over there. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, different number. And Jason was waiting there, and, you know, they finally got the car to go into gear, and I'm horrible at picking starting spots. I picked a bad starting spot for him. I got him last spot in his heat to start, and, of course, I picked last to start for last night, too. So don't ever have me pick your starting numbers, because I am not good at it. I promise I will not get you a good starting spot whatsoever. Have somebody else pick, anybody but me, and then next time I'm going to have anybody else pick but me, too, for my own spot. So it was pretty cool. I mean, once they got the car in gear and I got rolling and everything and that green flag came out, it was a learning experience, I will say that. But contrary to what my son kept saying, where he said he gave me two laps till I'd spin out, I did not spin out. I kept the car on the track, off everything, and I was the last car on the lead lap coming across the checker. So I think that was an accomplishment in itself. Just the fact that I even got out there was an accomplishment. But I'll tell you what, I gained a new respect for the drivers when they go out there and race, because it's not easy. It's bumping and banging and jarring, and, you know, I felt like a little bobblehead in the car.
Well, yeah.
You know, we sit there and I take the pictures every week, and I watch these guys go around. I'm like, yeah, they're just going around circles. It looks so easy. Anybody could do this. You know, and all the fans are like, oh, how hard could it be? And they go, well, so-and-so did a slide job, and he pushed my driver out of the way. And I'm sitting there going, dude, these things are pretty hard to keep under control out here. I could see why they slide up into somebody now, you know. And if every fan would have that opportunity to understand that, you know, what you say is that somebody took your driver out intentionally, 9 times out of 10, they probably didn't do it on purpose. You can't tell it from the grandstands, and I can't tell it from where I'm shooting on the track. These pothole, like, crevices that come up out of the track and everything like that, that you just go around and hit. And it's like you hit them, and you're just bouncing around. And I said the other thing was my glasses, because I wear glasses, were bopping up and down. I couldn't see straight when I was out there.
I guess you got to put the contacts in for that one. You got a full-face helmet, I guess?
I had a full-face helmet. I didn't wear my motocross helmet, even though I swore up and down I was going to wear one of my moto helmets. I used Allie Herbst, the little girl that I work with on the quarter midget. I stole her old helmet and covered it with butterflies and monkeys and all kinds of little decals, a little bus decal on it. And I wore the full-face helmet to go out there. Well, they put tariffs on it. Well, I didn't need them, thank goodness, because I wouldn't have known how to get them off in the first place, because I'll tell you what, I have no coordination whatsoever. I'll admit it. I've got none. So, but I was happy. I got out of the pit stall. You know, I backed it out. I think I stalled it when I backed it out, and we had to restart it. But then I made it from the pit stall all the way to the staging area without stalling. I was like, woohoo, mission accomplished. And then after there is when I couldn't get into gear. But it's all good. You know, he came to my rescue. He saved me and got me rolling, and it was really a kick-ass experience. It was. I want to do it again, but we'll see. I'd jump at the opportunity again to do it again. It was awesome, but I also want to go play with the boys, too. I don't know. The girls were fun, but I want some other cars to beat and bang around on just to see what it feels like.
Yeah. What's this driving dirt cars? Here you're plugging this little yellow bus thing, Short Bus Express.
Yes, the Short Bus Express. That's the car that I ran last night. Jason normally drives that. He runs it at Grandview. He runs it at Big Diamond. He runs. He's going to be running at Georgetown on the 21st. It's a PA Sportsman. He ran Saturday night, got 20th at Grandview, and he got 13th on Sunday at Big Diamond. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's a neat little experience. With the PA Sportsmen, they're new to Grandview Speedway. It's only their second full season of running up there on a regular basis. So that's another neat thing that we have up there. It's more of an entry-level budget class, so to speak. I mean, you still got your high-dollar cars that are coming in there, but these are a little bit more affordable. The Short Bus is a 2000 Troyer chassis setup, so, I mean, it's not the newest one out there. And it doesn't matter, though. The car is still competitive. I mean, I got on the gas last night, and that car just wanted to go. And I said, I don't think I ever cracked the throttle all the way, which it's fine. I had enough speed to have fun with what I was doing last night. But, I mean, that car has a lot of get-up-and-go, a lot of spunk to it, and just a lot of power pushing behind it. And it was pretty cool. I mean, it's a totally different thing. I mean, your next level up is you go up into the 358 Modifieds. But, honestly, I think the Sportsman was a lot more fun.
Yeah, that
seems like you're having a blast, and I'm sitting here in the mountains. And
well, you know, I'm all about racing, and I always have been. I've been,
yeah,
you
I
know. I was
I'm
born in this
your...
sport. My dad raced and everything like that. So to have the opportunity to actually go out on the track last night, I said,
hey.
One of my things, everybody used to tease me and remind me of when I was in kindergarten, we had to draw what we were going to be when we grew up. And I drew a picture of a purple race car and said, I'm going to be a race car driver. And, you know, of course they all laughed, ha, 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 silly girl, you're never going to be on the track, you know. And I ran the motocross for 11 years. And everybody's like, yeah, well, you know, you're the only one that made happen what you said was going to happen. Because even in my high school yearbook, you know, when we had to write our profiles, it said, you know, I'm going to be a championship racer. And I'm like, yeah, I got my motocross championships. Yeah, okay, I got four, you know, three track titles. I got a regional title, blah, blah, blah. I got all this stuff. And everybody just looked at me going, well, you made your goals. I'm like, no, actually, I haven't made my goals. I said I wanted to drive a race car. I didn't say I wanted to race a dirt bike. I wanted to drive a race car. So, you know, last night I can officially say now I have driven a race car. You know, and it is one of the three tracks that, you know, I grew up at, so it even makes it more sentimental because it is one of the three tracks that I've followed all my life. And, you know, and to go out in Jason's car makes it even more special, too, for me. So, you know, it was an all-around dream night.
We have a caller listed as Spy Team 123. Okay, mm-hmm. Spy Team, what's your real name? And welcome to Garage Talk Live. You're on with Vince and Tammy.
Oh, my real name is Ryan.
Excuse me?
My real name is Ryan.
Pam, can you help me here?
No, I'm having a hard time hearing.
Yeah, me too.
My real name is Ryan.
Your real name is Ryan?
Hey,
yeah.
Ryan.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
What do you want to talk about? Dirt track or big time?
I'm not sure.
Well, you have a former motocross girls champion at Englishtown turned dirt track driver who is my partner, actually, when she up until this past couple of years because she's been busy, and this is Garage Talk Live, and we talk motorsports. You've been listening for a long time, or?
No, I just started.
You a fan of Tammy's?
No. Sorry.
Do you have a question for either one of us?
No, I just wanted to call him.
Well,
I'm not sure, by the way.
Thanks. So what do you want to talk about? You call in, you don't want to talk about something, right?
Nah, I don't want to talk about anything. Sorry.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
You too. Bye.
Bye. What? Hey, is one of your people?
Hey, it's all good.
Hey, how did... Okay, now, you got to teach me some things here. How do I get to come up the way you got it to come up? Now, I'm just showing as my phone number. Is this actually holding people you type into an address book?
No, it doesn't save anything, no.
And how did you get to come in as that?
Oh, because I'm on Skype.
Oh, you're on Skype. That was Skype call.
Yeah, because I have Sprint, and as everybody knows in my area, my phone doesn't work. Sprint took their towers down here, so. Huh.
Sprint doesn't work in too many places. AT&T's work.
I know. I'm ready to ditch them.
I couldn't say that to Brooke, but, you know, it's she's a good girl and she always comes on. But, man, Mikey Walter team got spanked.
I don't even think that's the word for it, honestly. I saw the press release coming in. I was watching what was going on. Everybody looked at me and they said, what do you think it is? I'm like, somebody's getting kicked out of the chase. And they all looked at me going, what? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, somebody's getting kicked out of the chase. But, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't gotten to follow much of the NASCAR this year and everything with everything that's going on with what I'm doing. I mean, this coming weekend, I got another doubleheader, so I won't even, I won't be home Saturday or Sunday to see anything on TV again.
Oh.
We got the biggest race of the year for Grandview. It's our season track finale. It's their last official track race. We have a Thunder in the Hills show yet in October. But this Saturday, we have the Freedom 76er, which is for our NASCAR 358 modifieds. It's going to be a good field expected to be coming out for that. And we have a fan jam event that's going to be taking place from 11 to 2:30 outside of the pit entrance where we're going to have many of the cars on display that are going to be competing for $25,000 to win. And the drivers are going to be coming out every half an hour. We're going to be switching drivers. They're going to be coming out and meeting with the fans and signing autographs. And then we're also going to have DJ Outlaw out there, and he's going to be providing music and entertainment. And we're looking at having some goodies and things like that to give away, too, for the fans. Because I'll tell you what, they're already camping up there. They're already parked up at Grandview, and they're already partying and camping and ready to go for this Saturday. So, you know, that's going to be my Saturday. My day is going to start really, really early in the morning, and it's going to end really, really early the next morning. And catch a cat nap and turn around, and we're going to go right back up to Big Diamond again this weekend. They're going to have a special race going on up there. They're going to be inviting up all the late models that run at Susquehanna, Williams Grove, and Grandview Speedway. If your late model is legal to run at any of those three tracks, you are legal to run at Big Diamond Speedway this Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. There is $1,000 on the line for the winner for the late models, which is a big payout for the late models in this area. And it's $100 yeah. guaranteed to take the green. And it's going to be a 25-lap feature for them. There will be also the sportsmen are going back up there. So look for the short bus up there. It's going to be same conditions, $1,000 for the winner, $100 to take the green, 25-lap feature for them also. It's the USS Aiki Sportsman Division that runs up at Big Diamond. And then the third one on the division cards this week is going to be the Savage 61 Roadrunners. They're going to have a 20-lap feature, and they're going for $225 to win. So it's going to be an action-packed weekend yet. I mean, racing's still going strong up here in the Northeast. The weather's still beautiful. So take your family out to one of the races. Grandview is $30 to get in for the 76er for adults. And I don't know the kids' price off the top of my head. I should know this. Gates open at 3 o'clock Saturday at Grandview Speedway if you are an advanced ticket holder. 3:30 to everybody else who purchases their tickets that day. Again, the fan jam is from 11 to 2:30, so come party with us before going in the gate. So you have plenty of time to come party, get in line, and go get your seats. And get ready to see who's going to be the $25,000 winner. I mean, it's a huge payout. There's a lot of big names that are coming in again to race. So it's definitely a race you want to get to and see. And then from there, head up to Big Diamond on Sunday. For them to get in the grandstands, adults are $12. Senior students, military with proper ID are $10. And kids 12 and under are free. Again, gates open at 4 o'clock up there on Saturday or Sunday. First warm-ups will hit the track at 5:45 and the first heat 6:15. So they ran a great show last night. It was really quick. They got it done really fast. Even with all us ladies going out there and playing around the track, they still got it in and got us out of there a decent hour. So definitely go visit both tracks this weekend. You know, make it a weekend outing and jump tracks and have a little fun before the season winds down totally. And then the short bus is going to be in action again. Jason's going to be going down to Georgetown Speedway on September 21st. Georgetown's in Delaware.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So,
everybody know where it's at.
lots of traveling going on here.
Yeah. Oh, we got a statement.
Let me see.
Michael Waltrip Racing just came in.
Did they?
Yeah. What occurred on the number 55 radio at the end of Saturday night's race in Richmond was a split-second decision made by team spotter Ty Norris to bring the 55 to pit lane and help a teammate earn a place in the chase. We regret the decision and its impact. We apologize to NASCAR fellow competitors, partners, and fans who were disappointed in our actions. We will learn from this and move on. As general manager, Ty Norris has been an integral part of Michael Waltrip Racing since its founding and has my and co-owner Rob Kaufman's full support. I guess that's Mikey making a statement. And it says nothing about what Clint did. It's just about what the 55 did.
I don't know.
You got a busy weekend. Any word from Dover? Because Dover's coming up at 3.
They should have gotten their request for Mike and I to go down Thursday or Friday. I put in for Mike, who's one of my behind-the-scenes helpers. So he's definitely good at running around and getting everything done and working behind the scenes. So I'm looking forward to putting him to the test down there and keeping him busy.
Yeah, but sometimes, now you know as well as I, sometimes there are a little lax on getting those acceptance letters out. I mean, I'm surprised, like, in he sent you a rejection letter. That I assume you seem to get out pretty quick. But
I just was slacking out. You know, like I said, with everything that's going on right now, and the Freedom 76 is a huge event that we had planned, and a lot of things that were going on. So, I've just been so focused on getting all that done and the drivers coordinated, and we got cars that we had to get out, and so much work that goes on behind the scenes to put a race on that people don't realize. And just, wow, I don't know how some of the tracks do it. You know, it's a lot of work. And when you guys show up at a racetrack and you just go, oh, there's a race, you don't realize that every night that week somebody was doing something to make that race possible.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, we've had Gary on and Amy Turner from Richmond, and, you know, the last week up until the race is hell.
Yeah,
and they don't
I've been here all the year.
We've got a weekly thing going on to where it just turned around right after that. And
I'm one of the ones, too, with what I do. I mean, if one of my drivers is in an accident, they flip or anything like that, I make sure I check on the drivers and, you know, I'll get a message off to him and say, are you okay? Do you need anything? You know, and, you know, try and rally the troops, too, if somebody needs help and stuff like that, because I don't want to see any of my drivers sitting out on the sidelines because they didn't have enough help to put their car back together or, you know, they couldn't source the parts that they needed to find because they are running an older setup or something like that. So, you know, I sometimes take it a step above and beyond what, you know, is required of me, but that's because I don't want to see any driver missing out because our drivers bring the fans in. And if we don't have fans in those grandstands, we don't have a need to have a race. And if we don't have drivers out in that track, we're not going to have fans in those grandstands. You know, it's a nasty, vicious circle that everybody has to work together in order to get through. And, you know, I was always taught sportsmanship is your number one thing. You know, I learned from John Geisler, you know, your best policy and your best way to get through racing is always to be sportsmanlike to everybody out there, work together, because that's how you're going to make this sport grow. So, you know, that's the one thing I always try and focus on is, you know, what do these guys need? You wrecked, what do you need? Is there anything you need? Are you okay? Is your driver okay? Do you need help? Do I need to see if I can get some other people over there to help you fix it up? Do you need to source parts? I never want to see any driver sitting on the sidelines because they did not have enough help to get their car back together to get back out on the track. You know, to me, that would be letting the drivers down, letting the teams down, and letting the fans down that I'm working so hard every week to, you know, get all the information out to.
Yep. You make Ernie Saxton proud, I guess.
I hope so. I mean, Ernie made a big announcement. This week is his last Freedom 76 race that he'll be announcing at, and his last race he will be announcing at Grandview Speedway. And that news really hit me hard because I wouldn't be doing what I was doing now in my life if it wasn't for Ernie inspiring me and, you know, putting me on the staff up there. A lot of people don't know this. I started up at the track when I was 11 years old selling program books.
I remember that. You're telling me.
When I turned 13 or 14, I think it was, I started actually writing driver's interviews. And I look back at them now going, oh, my God, I haven't gotten any better. What the hell's wrong with me? But I started writing driver's interviews. And from there, it just kind of springboarded into everything that I do now. And it's kind of funny. I went with the outlet that I was with before I came to you and covering the NASCAR and everything like that. And I've settled myself back down to where I started because I feel if we don't encourage our local hometown racers and grassroots fans to come out to the races, we're not going to grow our sport because everybody keeps saying, well, that's not where you're going to find your stars tomorrow. No, this is where you're going to find your stars tomorrow. This is where your Kyle Larsons are coming from. This is where your stars of tomorrow are coming from. And,
what is he
going to
move?
Get out there and meet them now before they get up through the ranks, because once they get up through the ranks, it's going to be 10 times harder to meet them.
Yep. So what did you think of that move, Kyle Larson to the 42 car? I didn't think he was ready.
I think you need to serve your time in the lower ranks and get your rookie stripes before
going
up. I really do.
I think Ganassi, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes. But
you
want to
make a pick
quick
for Chicago?
I can't. Mine's sidelined, so I can't pick. I'll take Newman.
You'll take Newman?
I take Newman.
I'll go with Kurt Busch, man.
Cool.
All right.
Before I get off, I mean, check Grandview Speedway Inc. fan page, Big Diamond Speedway fan page, Short Bus Express fan page. Get on Facebook. Go like them all. I'm going to try and get them all tagged on Garage Talk later on tonight. I am, like, buried under column deadlines that I have to get done and everything like this for a lot of places I started writing for. But get out to your local track, support your local drivers, and come have a lot of fun with us. And if the Short Bus is there, come on back and say hi to Jason and, If he's around, I'll most likely be around too. So come on back to the car, stop back afterwards, say hi. And he's got shirts and things like that too, so come visit.
All right, Tammy, thanks a lot for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back home. And, and don't forget to tune in tomorrow night for Lowdown and Dirty. They still on Tuesdays,
yep.
Right? I know we're doing some Thursday bits, so.
Yep, tomorrow night, and they'll be at the Wingman in East Greenville, so you can even come on out live, have some food, sit down, relax, and enjoy the show, and keep an eye on the Facebook page, because I forget. I know I'll be on there a little bit, talking a little bit more in depth about the Powder Puff and the cars and everything like that. So come on out and join us and have some fun.
And thanks, Tammy, for joining us again. And I'm Vince Bonfigli, and we are just about out of time. We'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.